Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, in the weeks since the RTE Investigates undercover investigation of creches, many questions have arisen about how authorities monitor childcare facilities and how they take action when necessary. Today, representatives from Tusland, the Department of Children, were summoned to give evidence to an Oireachtas committee on this issue. And following events at the committee was Dr. Mary Maloney, who's a lecturer in early childhood education at Mary Immaculate College. She joins me from our Limerick studio. Dr. Maloney, good evening.
Good evening, Mary.
Can we clarify a couple of issues, maybe, first of all, about how matters work and operate at present? Does Tusla have the power to immediately close a registered creche if very serious problems are discovered?
Well, it would seem from what they said today in front of the Oireachtas Committee that they do not have immediate powers. I suppose what they did do today is provide insight into how they operate and gave a little bit more clarity to what had been going on behind the scenes in the run-up to the RTE Investigates programme. I am slightly concerned when I hear mention of a threshold of concern. And I've reflected on this since I listened to, you know, and tuned into the Oireachtas mm-hmm. debate today. So we're looking at environments that are physically safe for children. We're looking at environments that are emotionally safe for children. And then we have this whole issue that emerged today around child protection. Can I say that in relation to physically unsafe environments, there were very serious breaches that Tusla were aware of since 2016 relating to fire safety, unsafe sleep practices. That's a physically unsafe environment for children. Children were in a very emotionally unsafe environment where there were not enough staff to provide the care and nurture that these young children need. In relation to the children themselves, nobody is mentioning that these were children under 3 years of age who do not have a voice and who cannot tell us what is going on. I'm somewhat heartened to realise that Tusla were in fact in enforcement action or process with the chain of services. However, there are huge questions around due process and the amount of time and the length of that process. So, for example, Mary, we had one of the settings in that chain who was unregistered. So, in other words, they did not register so that they could avoid the regulations.
But the thing is, Mary, you said it would seem, when I asked you about their power to immediately close a registered creche, you said it would seem that they don't.
Yeah, they said they don't.
So then that's a registered creche.
Yeah.
Now, if it's unregistered,
it's even more serious. So on the one hand, they have no power to close a registered setting. And on the other hand, they have no power to do anything with an unregistered setting. Now, in relation to the unregistered setting, Tusla are caught in a little bit of a limbo themselves because the onus is on the provider to tell them or to seek registration. If that doesn't happen, Tusla are waiting for that information to come through some other source. And unless it's brought to their attention, they do not know that that setting is in existence.
Does that seem strange to you that they don't have inspectors or examiners, whatever you want to call them, whose job it is to keep an eye on what is opening around the country and checking registration and so on?
The bind, I think, that they're caught in is that the responsibility rests with the provider to let them know. So, for example, should there be more communication between a planning department, for example, and Tusla? Should there be more communication, for example, between the fire department or the fire authority and Tusla? I think absolutely on foot of what is now coming to light. But at the end of the day, Tusla is still out of the loop unless that provider tells them that they are seeking registration.
But would you accept that as a parent, if I see a creche facility opening in my area that I want to access for my child, I would assume that a creche that opens with all the bells and whistles and all the rest of it, that it is a registered creche in this day and age. We've been through all the children first and vetting and all of the issues that have arisen over the past number of years and the setting up of Tusla and the work it was supposed to do. I would make the assumption that that creche was registered. I wouldn't have known that there's actually an onus on me to go and check if it's registered or not.
There should not be an onus on parents to go and check if it's registered. And parents would automatically assume that it is registered. I would have assumed all settings were registered. However, we have a rogue operator, and let's call it what it is, a rogue operator who consistently, as far back as 2004, under the stewardship of the HSE, consistently breached regulations
but,
and found ways
also,
around them.
Do we know how many operators we have around the country who are not registered?
Now, again, Tusla didn't seem to have figures in relation to that today, but I suppose some worrying statistics are beginning to emerge. Now, I want to be very, very clear, Mary, that what we saw in the RT Investigates programme is absolutely not widespread. OK, we know that the majority of settings operate to very high standards, but...
I accept that, but the fact that they don't have powers, whether they're registered or unregistered, it kind of drags everybody down, doesn't it? I mean, best that they had these very clear-cut powers.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. Where children need to be protected, we need a regulatory body that has the power to go in and close immediately. And again, I'm going back to the threshold of concern, and I do think Tusla need to be very, very clear about this. What is the threshold of concern? Is it when there is a child protection issue only, as in abuse of a child? Okay, that would say to me immediate closure. Okay, what about where children are physically unsafe, they cannot get out of a building because, you know, the fire exit is blocked? What about a setting where there's not enough staff, where it's overcrowded, where children are in an emotionally unsafe environment? What is the threshold of concern there, and what action can Tusla take in those circumstances to reassure parents that that will not be allowed to happen, and they will also close those settings down?
Do you subscribe to the view that the Tusla and its inspectors should work with the creches where perhaps they have found issues in relation to a fire safety issue or another issue, that they should work with them to bring them into compliance?
The whole idea is that we want settings to remain open. Parents need these settings, okay? And yes, absolutely, where a breach is detected, Tusla work with the setting. But for how long do they continue to work with a setting who continues to breach and who doesn't rectify the situation? That is my question. So in the case of hide and seek, we have, let there be no mistake about it, Mary, we have 16 years of bad practice. 16 years. That is far too long. I accept that Tusla came into being and only became aware of these issues as an agency in 2016. But that is still 3 years where we have had this setting blatantly breaching regulations. So how long do we allow a setting where children are physically and emotionally unsafe to continue?
I know this afternoon at the committee as well, Senator Catherine Noon, she was calling for CCTV to be introduced as mandatory in creches to reassure parents. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there may be GDPR issues and so on, but if they could be gotten over, if they could be gotten around, is that a good idea?
I think in an ideal world, what we would love would be a situation where parents can actually trust the staff with their children. Unfortunately, we're not in an ideal situation, and anything that can reassure parents is very helpful. I would have concerns about CCTV for a number of reasons. One is the GDPR issue, but the other is that we know about 95% of settings are operating to the highest standard, and I see CCTV as a huge infringement of those staff's rights because they're not involved in this type of practice. So I think we need to be very, very careful that we're not using a stick to beat the entire sector, while at the same time looking at legislation, amending it where necessary to ensure that what we saw last week cannot ever happen again, and that our children are protected and the full rigour of the law comes into play where they're not.
And Catherine Zappone has said now that she's asked her officials to conduct a review of the existing powers that Tusla has.
Yes.
And she's going to look at recommendations for changes if they're needed.
Yeah.
What changes would you like to see?
I think absolutely we need to look at the power that TUSLA has. We do need to look at due process and how that works in terms of parents also being aware of what is happening in settings. What we are being told by TUSLA is that when they're engaged with a setting around enforcement actions, they cannot put the inspection report on their website. So therefore, and as we saw again with hide and seek, one of the settings involved in hide and seek did not have an inspection report published online for 4 years. In those circumstances, a parent has an absolute right to know that TUSLA are concerned and what those concerns are. So I would like to see that happening.
It's greater transparency
absolutely.
All around. Dr. Mary Maloney, lecturer in early childhood education at Mary Immaculate College in Limerick. Thank you very much for joining us. It's